שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, journey with me once again across the sandy wastes of Sinai, and let us gain some more treasures from the important symbolism of the tabernacle in the wilderness, the entire pattern for which was given by God to our great teacher Moses. Standing in the western end of the open courtyard, this tent of meeting was divided internally into two compartments, the first of which was known as the holy place, and the second as the Kodesh HaKodashim. The Holy of Holies was divided from the holy place by a screen of four pillars, which supported curtains known in the Tanakh as the veil. This veil is first described in Exodus chapter 26, verses 31 to 35. Verse 33 distinctly states its purpose. Vehavdila haparochet lachem bein hakodesh uvein kodesh hakodashim. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the holy of holies. Clearly then, the veil is a divider, a separator. Indeed, the Hebrew word parochet, translated by the English word veil, comes from the Hebrew root paroch, meaning to break apart, to fracture. What a salutary, though saddening, lesson we have here. You see, the Holy of Holies was the place where God chose to make a manifestation of His personal presence, whilst the holy place was the place appointed for man to manifest his meaningful ceremonial service and worship. But though a healthful contact was established between God and man under prescribed divine conditions, yet it is a fact that the veil was a constant reminder that between God and man there was a break apart, a fracture, an estrangement. We know why. Man's sin. A study of the Torah discloses that only the blood of divinely ordained sacrifice could achieve a satisfactory remedy. Please follow me carefully here, for the spiritual treasure to be acquired is rich indeed. First of all, observe that the divinely appointed blood is efficacious to the ordinary appointed priest, who could never go beyond the veil. This is superbly illustrated in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 17, where we read, "And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle it seven times before the Eternal, in front of the veil." The ordinary priest is in front of the veil. Truly, the veil separates him, yet, equally truly, he stands acceptably before the Lord, not because of his merits, but because of the blood perfectly, that is, seven times, applied. The veil may be between to separate, but because it is between, it ensures safe and acceptable contact between a holy God and unholy man. Secondly, I ask you to note that whilst the ordinary priest could not pass beyond the veil, but only before it, yet, on the special occasion of the Day of Atonement, the high priest could and did go within it. But in doing so, he was obliged, under penalty of death, to take with him a censer full of coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small. in addition to the incense, he was obliged to take with him the blood of the sin offering. The incense he burnt upon the fire before the Lord, and the blood he sprinkled once, al panei hakaporet, upon the ark cover, and seven times, lifnei hakaporet, before the ark cover. A total of eight sprinklings instead of seven, as with the ordinary priests. Read the record for yourselves in the 16th chapter of Leviticus. Before passing to my third and final point, I ask you to recognize that our ancient Jewish Haggadah affirms that there is such identity between the high priest and the people he represents that, as Rashi puts it, the sin of a high priest rendered all the people guilty. Here is the Jewish doctrine of imputed sin. Similarly, we have the Jewish doctrine of imputed righteousness, as we have already noticed in past messages when considering our father Abraham, of whom the Torah declares that he believed in the Eternal, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So also with the high priest. On that dreadful day of atonement, Yom Kippur, how the people must have waited in unrelaxed suspense until the reappearance of the high priest assured them that all was well with him and with them, for their fate was locked with his. My third point is one that seems to have escaped the attention of the commentators with whom I am familiar. It is this. Admittedly, the veil did separate man from God, but observe where that separator was symbolically represented: on earth and in the midst of the people. Let me be more explicit on this comforting and beautiful truth. Supposing the tent of meeting had had only one compartment, then the veil would have been the end and final wall, beyond which there would have been nothing but the open air and the skies above, God in his remote heavens, and man constantly facing a veil of separation that had no sure hope woven into its fabric. But, my friends, be of good cheer. The veil was not the final wall. So close, so very close, just behind it, was the loving, living God of Israel dwelling in the midst of his people. There to protect, there to guide, there to encourage, there to sustain, there to commune. That veil did separate, but all the symbolic and actual circumstances, including its penetration by Israel's high priest, himself a symbol, pointed to the consoling hope that the veil itself was to be but a temporary institution, destined by divine grace to cease its separating function under the efficacy of blood and incense. Do you inquire of whom the high priest was symbolic? Why, the one described in that prophetic 110th Psalm, the one declared a priest forever, belonging to the rank not of Aaron, but of Melchizedek. The blood conveyed behind the separating veil symbolizes this great one's atonement, and the incense his efficacious and unceasing intercession for us. The eight sprinklings behind the veil symbolically indicates the new order, for eight, as I shall one day demonstrate, is the biblical number denoting a new beginning. In that essentially Jewish scripture known as Igeret El HaEvriim, letter to the Hebrews, written under divine inspiration by a Jew to Jewish people, this great high priest is identified and his redeeming work described. Let me quote this writer. This hope we have as an anchor for our souls, secure and safe, and which reaches up behind the heavenly veil, where Yeshua has blazed the way for us, and become a high priest with the rank of Melchizedek. The same writer supplies a divinely inspired and authorized exposition. Let me quote part of it to you. Here it is. But when Messiah came as the high priest of good things that have already taken place, he went by way of that greater and more perfect tent of worship, that is, not belonging to this material creation, and not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he once for all went into the real sanctuary and secured our eternal redemption. Of whom does he write? Let another Jew supply the answer. Then Yeshua gave a loud cry and expired, and the veil of the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. Ah, didn't we suspect that the separating veil was only a temporary factor? The way is now open into the Holy of Holies through the blood and intercession of our great high priest belonging to that rank of Melchizedek. With the prospect of such a glorious hope, you will want to read the entire exposition. Then won't you send to me for a free copy of this letter to the Hebrews, and also transcripts of these messages? I shall hope to hear from you. Yivrecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.